Well, we are in Nehemiah chapter 5. Tonight we'll be kind of taking a look at the second half here, if you will, of the chapter. If you found your place, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. It is a joy to be able to look into the Word of God and to study Scripture. And we're going to read together out loud tonight chapter 5 and verses 14 through 19. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep, also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required I not the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. All right, as we begin this chapter, if you kind of just maybe want to flip back over to the first part of chapter 5, just in a little bit of a recap, if you will, of last Sunday night, the Jews there had gotten themselves into a fix, okay? And it's only because they decided to ignore the Word of God, okay? So just lesson learned for us, do not violate biblical principles. Okay? It's never right to do wrong. Okay? It just isn't. And certainly two wrongs don't make a right. All right? That just doesn't work. So, following God's principles is the key to success. Many people say, I can't afford to tithe. Okay? I would say from the biblical perspective, you can't afford not to tithe. Okay? So it's all about how you think about it. And I'm not here to step on any toes or to burst anybody's bubble. Tithing is a command. All right? It's the 10% of the first fruits of all thine increase. So, and we've talked about this in stewardship. I'm not going to rehash the things we talked about of stewardship back in February of this year. But you understand that God owns it all. He allows us to manage or oversee some of it, right? Each a portion to how he determines that we can handle it. But we ought to willingly, just right off the top of our finances, the top of our talents, the top of our time, just say, God, 10%, this chunk is yours. That's a good biblical principle. And you know what? We may fuss and complain about it, the government and what it takes from our paychecks, etc., right? And we can't do anything about that. But we have the choice to give God his due up front. And guess what? It's a great choice. It's a great choice. And guess what? God is not going to owe anybody anything. He's not going to watch you give to him out of your necessity. You understand that? God knows what you need to live on. And if we were all very, very, very honest, we could all probably live on a little bit less than we are. Now, I don't know all of your circumstances, and you may be at the least point. All right? But I have observed a few studies. And the poorest people in America are richer than most of the rest of the world. just in a general sense. Okay? Some of you have been in foreign countries or come from other places. You understand what I'm talking about. The poor people over there are poor. Okay? Like super poor. Like, they live in a literal grass hut with a dirt floor. Any kind of a cot or bed they're sleeping on is probably made of sticks and thatch. And that's what they've got. I mean, they don't eat like steak. They don't even know what that is. Okay? They have this paste stuff that they eat made out of some kind of, ground corn or roots or something that they dug up out of the jungle. I mean, a lot of the world lives like that. Just ask our missionaries that we support around the world, okay? And think about that while you're eating your Big Mac with that, with cheese and a Diet Coke, however you go about that. But you understand that these people were in difficulty just because of violating God's principles, all right? And I'm not going to re-preach last week's message because that means we would be here twice as long tonight. So that's what we kind of saw in verses 1 through 5. And then Nehemiah was, of course, upset, but he was able to control that. And he kind of understood that this was coming from the top. That the rulers were the ones that were kind of, if you will, causing this problem by how they were violating God's principles and how they were leading the people. And so he talked to them about it, and he kind of restored this idea of following God's principles. And in verses 11 through 13, he kind of was able to right the ship, all right, concerning this principle violation that they were exacting usury. They were taking people into bondage, and they weren't supposed to be doing that kind of stuff, and all of those things. So that brings us to verse 14, and then down through verse 19. And I want you to see what kind of the important thing, and this is what we can take away from this as God's people, members of a local church like this one, people that are born again, that have these principles and are supposed to be an example to those that are without. Okay? To those that are outside of this local church, to the lost, and maybe even to other Christians who are not maybe part of this kind of a church, we are to be an example. Nehemiah had a definite burden. Is there any question of that so far? From what we've looked at in Scripture? No. And we saw that in verse 1. We saw how he wept and he prayed and he fasted and he's tried to get a hold of God concerning this burden that he had in his life. God decided to allow him to be the resolution to this burden. And he equipped him. And he made him in favor with the king. Think about this. He had letters. He had resources. He had provisions. Things that he was taking with that the king supplied at the king's expense. Wow. Pretty cool. I mean, that's great. Now, when Nehemiah came into all this, if you will, sudden wealth, what was he going to do? How was he going to respond? Could he have used it for his own benefit? Absolutely. Could he have eaten the finest things and as much as really he wanted according to what we read here today? Yeah. And could he have those in his whole household, I mean, they could have really lived it up, if you will. You understand what I'm talking about here? But was that his testimony? No. Okay, not according to what we read here tonight. So let's just look at a few of these things. And beginning in verse 14, it says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor." Okay, so he said, this was my title, this was my portion,
and I have not used this portion.
And he gives the reason why. He says, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. So he understood what was going on. And Nehemiah was able to handle this, if you will, blessing from God, this appointing to authority and leadership, which came with it, all the things that come with it, the money, the food, the all the stuff that comes with it, and he was able to handle that wisely. Not only did Nehemiah expect the people to live by God's principles, he was going to live by God's principles. And folks, I hope God blesses you till you can't handle it. I do. I would love for all of our dear folks to be blessed above measure. That God would just open the windows of heaven and just pour out till everything just starts splashing and overflowing everywhere. That'd be wonderful. But how are we going to handle those blessings? You see, they say that money changes people. Have you heard that? You know, commonly in our world today, I think recently, wasn't there just some, and now again, let me look into the camera. I have never played, nor will I ever play the lottery, okay? Just want you to know this. But I do have ears, okay? So I do hear about this on the TV and the news, etc. But wasn't there some kind of big Powerball or whatever? You all watch the news too. Shake your heads, okay? I'm not accusing you of playing the Powerball. Right? Like, what was it, like $200 billion or something like? What? No, $200 million. What was it? Somebody help me. Come on. You guys, you're telling me you didn't watch the news? I'm the only one that watches the news. I'm the only one that heard about this. It was a lot, right? Come on, Sebastian. You don't know either? Okay, well, that's all right. Whatever it was just some unrealistic, just some ridiculous amount of money, okay? And I guess there was some winner, the ticket was sold in California or somewhere, or something. I don't know. Okay, thank you. Somebody at least acknowledging that they understand. They watch the news. All right. Now, you maybe have heard stories of how these people come into all kinds of money and then everything just goes sideways for their whole life. Right? That in a short matter of time, they're totally bankrupt. They've been divorced. Family feuds have been started. People have been killed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, right? Chaos. Total utter chaos ensues over $28 million or $100 million or some random, you know, ridiculous amount of money. Sometimes maybe when we come to a place where we're maybe comfortable in our living, what's one of the first things that people tend to do? Forget about God. You know, it's just one of those natural things. Remember what Moses told the people, right? And Joshua reminded the people. When they're going into the promised land, they were inheriting a place that had cities that they didn't build, right? Olive yards and vineyards that they didn't plant. They were inheriting these. And he said, beware, right? Lest y'all get too comfortable and forget God. You know, when we're in adversity in our life, what do we want to do? Oh, God, please help, right? We cry out to God. And we're begging him incessantly for this blessing in our life and this help in our life and this thing in our life. And then sometimes when those things come, I guess we just don't need God anymore. Until the next time that we're in need. I mean, think about the children of Israel. That part of their roller coaster was they kept crying out to God in their time of trouble. God would relieve them of their trouble. They'd be okay for a little bit. And then they just kind of forgot about God again. And then guess what? Back into trouble. And the cycle would repeat itself. Here we go. Part two. part three, part four. I mean, it was just over and over again. But are we really that much different? So Nehemiah gives us a great opportunity to understand that he was one of those examples that we ought to look to. As far as his testimony concerning handling these blessings that God had bestowed upon him. You know, adversity could actually be a positive thing in our lives, because often adversity drives us closer to God. Sometimes it's the time of plentifulness, the time of peace, if you will, that forces us to forget about God, because in our flesh we're content. And so we've got to understand these things in our lives. Now, take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 75, just a few books of the Bible over. Over in Psalm 75. As we look at a few things tonight. This is a psalm here where God is being praised. It says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will be cut off, will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." That speaks about how God is the one orchestrating and controlling all things. You know, it's God's sovereign will that he chooses us to either, if you will, rise or be promoted or not, etc. You say, why Nehemiah? I don't know. Probably because he was exemplary in all of the things that he both did and thought and was about to do. God knew him. Think about this. In Scripture, why did God choose some guy named Moses? You know, why did God choose some guy named Joseph? Why did God choose this young man named Daniel to accomplish the things that he accomplished? You know, you can ask why and why and why. You can say, well, God chose Saul. Yes, he did. But God also chose David. So all of these things, there are some things here we need to really understand about these men and their lives that we can also be a testimony like Nehemiah was. Be a testimony like Daniel was. Be a testimony like Joseph was. My daughter, in one of her classes, is writing a paper about the life of Joseph. And she also has to mark out several different types of Christ out of Joseph's life. My goodness, there's a bunch of them. And isn't that what we're supposed to be? Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus in his time, in the example that he was on this earth. Did Jesus live the sort of lifestyle that would flaunt the wealth and riches that he had? Obviously, Nehemiah didn't. We know that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't. Joseph, as far as we know, behaved himself wisely as well. You understand, that this is something that we as God's people. Listen, I'm glad that God blesses us. But don't let that be a point that drives you to violate biblical principles as well. You see, in our time of distress, remember at the beginning of the chapter, these people were driven to violate biblical principles because of their need. Well, the rulers violated biblical principles because of their greed. We've got to be careful of that in our lives. So we have all these examples, but we have to remember that God is the sovereign one. He is the one that promotes. He is the one that blesses. He is the one that is over all these things. And just like Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't know what's going to happen. But all the while, whether we're in a time of need or we're in a time of promotion, a time of success, we must stay true to the biblical principles found in Scripture. We must stay true to being a Christian, following the example of Christ. Sometimes it's harder to do that when we're in a time of plenty than it is to do it in a time of distress, in a time of need. Now, as we look here, we need to see what Nehemiah did during this time. Look at what he says here. He said that during this time, these 12 years, he and his brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. You see Nehemiah's motivation? Number one, he feared God. He had a reverent fear of God Almighty, that God had put him in this place. And who was he to take from the people? And who was he to abuse the people? Who was he to mistreat and misuse the people? These were God's people. These were not Nehemiah's people. He was just the governor overseeing these people. These were God's people. And how dare he take from them? How dare he exact usury upon them? Because he had just talked to them about this, hadn't he? And how dare he bear rule over them, or his servants bear rule over them, putting them into these tasks and such and so forth? Nehemiah's example was, hey, I went out and worked with them. And I ate the same things that they ate. And I was participating, and my servants served with them out in the work. We built the wall. We had this task to accomplish because the bondage of the people was very heavy because of these things. So he said, I did not require this from them. I did not require this usury and these taxes and these apportions that the governor was allowed to take. He said, but not me, because I fear God. Because I had a proper fear of God. He said here, he continued, he said, yea, also, I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. You see, they decided that they were going to be working together with these people, not ruling over these people. You know, in our lives, we ought to be servants of God, right? And we ought to serve. If you go to the New Testament, again, we don't have time this evening, but we go to the New Testament and it tells us how to deal with those that we work for. And our employers, the people that we work with, hey, if they're saved people, that's great. But if they're lost people, we have an opportunity to be an example, because we ought to serve them as we're serving Christ. We ought to be the best employee that somebody has, not the worst one. We ought to give more, perhaps, than others give, because we're Christians.
That these are principles that God outlines, and Nehemiah was a great example of these things. In verse 17, he says, "Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that were about us." So he said, "Hey, I did not take this governor's fee. I did not take this portion that the governor." He said, "My house provided these things. Out of my own, the things that he had in his household, and they were appointed to him. It didn't come from the people. It didn't come from a tax. It didn't come from this portion of the governor." And he said, "Beside this, I fed a bunch of other people too. Out of my pocket, not out of the pocket of the people." And so he said, and again, in verse 18, it talks about all the things that were prepared for them daily. But think about all the people that they had to feed. So they had all these different things that they had. But last part of verse 18, he says, "Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people." So he feared God, and his burden of the people, of the wall of Jerusalem, of the reproach of God in that area was real. It was real. He really cared for these people. Did you know that the people that are without here, they really know if we care or not? By our actions, by the things that we say, by the things that we do, by how we behave ourselves. Hey, listen. What's it really going to hurt us to take a little bit of money and buy someone a meal? Or bring someone a bag of groceries? I'm talking about not necessarily brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of our church family, which we ought to do that, caring for one another. But what about a lost person? And let me even go one further. What about somebody that doesn't like you very much? You see, these are biblical principles. You know, God, in his benevolence, cares for us so that we can care for others. That's the principle. That's the mentality. And this is certainly the mentality that Nehemiah had. And now look at Nehemiah's request in verse 19. He gives this testimony, and I think he gives this testimony because of what had happened in the first part of this chapter. But then he says simply, "Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." Do you think that Nehemiah's attitude was he wanted to be rewarded for all these good things that he had done? That he was looking for a pat on the back? That he was looking for God to give him a brand new shiny, you know, chariot or saddle or whatever? I won't say car because they didn't have cars back then. But was he looking to receive something for himself because of this testimony? No. Here's what I think. Nehemiah said, "Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." I think he wanted to do more for this people. I think Nehemiah was doing all he could for the people out of his own pocket. Look at all the people that he was feeding. Look at all the things that he had done without taking anything from the people, which was his right to take because he was the governor. And he did all this on his own, and he said, "God, think on me for good, for all, according to all that I have done for the people." You understand that we have an opportunity to be a blessing to others. And we ought to ask God, "God, would you allow me to be a greater blessing to others? Would you allow me to God, look at my track record. Look at the things that I have done with the things that you've apportioned to me. I have followed these biblical principles. I have done the things. Because Nehemiah wasn't bragging. And he's just saying, God, think on me for good, according to all that I have done for this people. I really believe Nehemiah's burden and Nehemiah's heart was he wanted to do more. He wanted to help more. He wanted to be a blessing more. And that's what we ought to do in our lives. You know, God says, to whom much is given, much is required. Sometimes I've wondered, why hasn't God ever given me $1 million? You ever wondered that? Nobody else. I'm the only one. Okay, I guess I'm learning a lot about y'all tonight. Sometimes I have to shamefully admit that maybe I couldn't handle $1 million. And God knows that. I guess I just have to try to keep working my way there, right? Again, it wouldn't be for me to consume upon our own lust. Remember what it says in the Bible? You have not because you ask not, and you have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. We don't see that in Nehemiah's life, do we? We see a man that was dedicated to God. He feared God. And he had a true burden for those people that he was working with. And he just simply wanted God to continue to bless him. He wanted God to continue to use him in his oversight of the people of God, in his oversight of this project. And God had exalted him, and he stood and withstood the test that many times happens to those that are promoted or to those that come into great wealth. And guess what? Daniel withstood that test. Joseph withstood that test. Nehemiah withstood that test. Job was a righteous man that feared God and eschewed evil. He was a rich man, you understand, before all those things happened to him. And so we understand that these things may come into our life and how we deal with them according to the examples we see in Scripture and according to biblical principles will determine if God will continue to bless us, continue to entrust these things to us or not. And that's what we need to take away from this thing. Turn over to 1 Chronicles in chapter 4. Just one other example. My mother had a portrait of this hanging up in our home. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, some of you may have heard of the prayer of Jabez, right? Okay, over in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. If I can find 1 Chronicles. It's in here somewhere. Yeah, I found 2 Chronicles, so I'm close. Look at verse 10 here in 1 Chronicles and chapter 4. It says here that in Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. That's his prayer. That was his call to God. And some people might be condemning of him and say, well, he was just greedy. He just wanted more and such and so forth. But let's go back and read verse 9. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called him his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." So we see that just like Job, and just like Joseph, and just like some of these other examples, like Nehemiah, he was honorable and found honorable in his ways. And God decided to grant his request. God granted Nehemiah's request. God granted things in Joseph's life. Because he could trust them. He knew he could. God was the one that brought Job's name up to the devil. "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Let me ask you just a side question. Could God ask the devil about you? Or me? I don't know.
Could we be trusted to follow biblical principles, to fear God, to fulfill these burdens that we have in our lives, and to do something for the Lord with them? We see in Nehemiah's life, we see in Jabez's life, we see in these other examples that these people feared God, they were honorable, they were trustworthy, and God knew He could trust them with the blessings outpoured in their lives. And that's the point that we need to get to in our lives. I'm thankful that over time, God has allowed us to experience financial blessings. And you know what? I'm just excited that I can do more things with the things God has given me. That I can help more people. I can do more things with it. And again, I'm not trying to boast of anything other than that God is great. And the blessings of God are great. And it's great to live in those blessings. But we must remember that they're not for us. But they're for Him. And they're for His people. And I don't consider myself as a pastor that I'm here to lord over you. And exact anything from you. Because sometimes that's, unfortunately, how people in authority respond and act. But rather, we're in this work together. And we get the chance to follow the principles, not only that they followed in the Old Testament, but the principles they followed in the New Testament. And remember Acts chapter 2, how they had all things common, and they were buying and selling things and sharing things, and they were in one accord in one place, and it was great. That's how it should be in our local church. That's how it should be in our community, in our lives, as God blesses us and uses us like He used Nehemiah. So as we kind of close out chapter 5 there, maybe we ought to have the same attitude that Nehemiah had and say simply, or may I ask the question, can we even say, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. What kind of life have we been living with the things that God has appointed to us? With the things that God has decided to bless us with and decided to allow us to oversee and manage? We ought to do it in the fear of God. And we ought to do it with the understanding of the burden that is before us. Jesus Christ lived His life that way. Joseph lived his life that way. Nehemiah lived his life that way. Job lived his life that way. And we as God's people ought to live our lives that way as well.